one that had no mandate or even a suggestion from the Word of God. Because for us, this is a spontaneous celebration by God's children that recognized the time when God, the one we could not go to, came to us and removed the barriers that stood between us. Now, over the years, the world has joined into our celebration and has added its own traditions and practices. And some of us fear that they may have co-opted our celebration. At times, it feels like they're letting us join their celebration, but only as long as we play nice and obey their rules for the holiday. We are permitted to celebrate along with them, but only if we leave out the why of Christmas. Because if we celebrate the why, we might offend someone or make someone feel left out. After all, the why of Christmas harshes the temporary buzz that presents, friends, bonuses, paid vacations, parties, and booze create. Apparently, the world believes that the good news gets in the way of a good time. It appears that we have come to the point where the world now tolerates our celebration of our holiday, as long as we keep the spiritual stuff, the why, to ourselves, and leave them alone to enjoy the how of their celebration. Now, quite frankly, I'm fine with that. It works for me, because my joy can't be diminished by anything the world does. I wish them the very best, realizing that I already have it. I don't fear them taking anything away from me. I fear me giving it away, willing to exchange my peace and joy for what they have to offer. I catch myself at times. After all, the lights look so pretty, the gifts are so appealing, and now they're even drawing Santa without a pipe. He's now politically correct to idolize Santa. Now, the world does hold on to a small remnant of our reason for Christmas, the why. Much like pinning a flag on a beer mug on the 4th of July and yelling independence before you drink it. They go to church, they allow their children to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special. They sing a couple of Christmassy hymns along with their happy carols about snow, bells, and Santa. Apparently, it's okay to talk about Jesus a little bit at Christmas time. As long as it's baby Jesus. Because as Talladega Nights remind us, baby Jesus is our favorite Jesus. Mostly because baby Jesus doesn't ask anything of us. Maybe the world holds on to this remnant of the spiritual Christmas because deep inside they know something is missing and they sense that this day should be something more than what they've turned it into. Because for the world, when this day ends, the celebration ends. They're left with nothing but bills, piles of paper, a return to work, and maybe a hangover. Well, for those who love the Lord, the celebration doesn't end on the 26th. Because for us, this celebration won't end until we openly celebrate the last and only holiday man will ever celebrate, Return Day. Yeah, I made the name up, but I didn't make up the event. You are going to party one day, whatever it ends up being called, it's coming. And I'm not talking about the day you return the gifts you don't want, but the day when our gift returns for us. On that day, this Christmas celebration will be completed, and a new one will begin, one that will never end. When we read the prophetic scriptures of Christmas from the Old Testament, the ones that speak of Jesus, the child, who will be born to save us, they often morph seamlessly into the Jesus who will come a second time to gather what he saved the first time. The second appearance is written as being an extension or completion of the first, a singular event that occurs in two separate acts. Isaiah 9:6-7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. God's enthusiasm to do it will make sure it gets done. Now here, Isaiah writes of the birth of Jesus and the return of Jesus as one event. Child being born and the government resting on his shoulders in the same sentence, with the same thought. Establishing and having the throne at the same time. Think of this as Jesus having power, but not displaying or revealing it until the time he chooses. The time that he chooses to do this will be when we have our final celebration. Micah 5:2-4. But as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, I will give them up until the time when she who has labored has borne a child. Then the redeemed of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. From Bethlehem, his birth, to the time when he will be great to the ends of the earth. The time when he shall arise in the strength and majesty of God, from the humility of the manger to the overwhelming display of the power of God, all one event, all one thought, separated by nothing but a few ticks of a clock, our clocks. And our clocks mean nothing to God. Isaiah 11:1-11. Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his root will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for all of the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be a belt about his loins, and faithfulness will be the belt around his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lay down with the young goat, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also, the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. In that day, the nations will restore to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the people, and his resting place will be glorious. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people, who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, from all the lands of the sea, from everywhere. This prophecy begins by informing us of the birth of Jesus. The root of Jesse is David. The branch is Joseph from the family tree of David. Jesus is the fruit the branch will bear. Then it seamlessly continues to tell us the things that he will do, none of which he did when he was here the first time. Isaiah writes, in that day, and on that day, these things will happen. The events written after verse 3 haven't happened yet. Yet they're proclaimed as fact that the birth of Jesus causes to occur. Jesus didn't strike the earth with a rod of his mouth or slay the wicked when he was here the first time. Peace has not ruled over the earth since he first came. These are the things that will happen on that day, the day that will complete our Christmas celebration. Because without that day, celebrating Christmas makes no sense at all. It's a hollow gesture. And we might as well join the world in the way they do it. Christmas is the rehearsal dinner for the wedding, the pre-party celebration that will continue in the hearts of the groom's brothers until he comes for his bride, return day. How will we know when it's return day? It'll look something like this. Revelations 19:11-16. And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and his name he has written on him, which no one knows except himself, because he is self-defining. His clothes with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So, if you should happen to be out one day, and you see a mighty heavenly being riding a white horse out of heaven, with flaming eyes, with many crowns on his head, wearing a robe dripped in blood, called the Word of God, with the armies of heaven following him, with a sharp sword coming from his mouth, striking down the nations, and he has King of Kings, Lord of Lords, etched onto his thigh, that's him. And that's the day. That's how you'll know. There will be no mystery. Everybody will know. You see, baby Jesus, that little child that lay in swaddling clothes in the manger, he was, is, and always will be a great and mighty warrior. A warrior that none can stand before, yet he humbled himself for you the first time, not the next time. If you celebrate the why of Christmas today, you will party this day on Return Day and every day that follows. If you are offended by the why of Christmas today, the party ends for you that day. Then this will happen. 21, 1 through 5 from Revelations. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven of God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer any death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, because the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. This is what Christmas leads to. This is what God always wanted. It was always his plan. The rehearsal dinner has finished here, and the wedding has arrived. His bride, the one all this was done for, is finally ready. The child, the warrior, now claims his prize. See, Christmas isn't really about the gift you get or we get. It's about Jesus claiming his. You. It's all about you. It always has been. From creation, through the prophecy, to the child, to the warrior, to the peace, to the new world, it's all about you. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. What sits under Jesus' Christmas tree? A picture of you, perfect and complete. Merry Christmas, and have a very happy Return Day, all of you. Amen.